Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful this morning for the opportunity that we have to gather together in your name to worship, to praise, to just give you love and tell you how much we appreciate you, appreciate your word, appreciate the work that you're doing in our lives. Father, we thank you for what you're going to give us this morning, that your word may minister and bless each of our hearts. Amen. You know, we all know that we're living in a new and a different day that God has brought us forth, and that God is calling us to a higher realm and a higher dimension in the Spirit. And I believe in this hour that God has great and wonderful things that He is about to show us concerning the manifestation of the sons of God. All of our lives, God's call has been upon us. You know, we think about that. We think about our lives. We think about what God's done for us. We think about the pathway that we've walked and the things that we've been through. And I know we came through the church, and I look back, and it is really evident that it was only God that could do what was done in our lives. We would be back there. But He is calling us to awake out of sleep and see the reality of who we really are. And we know that everything that has touched our lives has led us to this day. I mean, it's not been by accident, but by purpose. We have been predestined to walk the way that we're walking. And our Father's guiding eye has led each of us to each step of the way. And the Holy Spirit has been bringing to our mind to remind us and bring into our remembrance the things that we knew when we were with the Father before the world began. You know, that's a sobering thought to me, that the things that we're remembering, the Bible says there's nothing new under the sun. But the things that we're remembering are the things that we knew before we ever came into this dimension of time. In 2 Timothy 1 and verse 9, it says, "Who hath called us, who hath saved us, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to His own purpose and grace, which He has given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. For it is He who delivered and saved us and called us with a calling in itself holy, leading to holiness, to a life of consecration, a vocation of holiness. He did it not because of anything of merit that we have done, but because of and to further His own purpose and grace, unmerited favor, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, eternal ages ago." You know, that we keep saying it, and I know sometimes it's repetitious, but I believe that we need to really be reminded and to understand that who we are today is not because of anything that we have done or anything that we merit. It is God's work, as it says here in the Amplified, not any merit that we have done, because of and to further His own purpose. He set His purpose in motion before the world began. He laid out His plan, and He had the ability and the power to see His plan through to the ending. And His plan from the beginning was to gather all things back into Himself. That this process of life in this dimension of time that started back in the beginning when He created Adam and Eve was for the purpose that we came out from God, that we're processed through God, and that we return to God. and that His hand has been laid upon our lives, not because of anything that we did, and not because of our own choosing. He said, you did not choose me. I chose you. God chose us in Himself before the foundation of the world. And what is reality? Reality is the fact that we are spirit beings. Reality is the fact that we were created in the image of our Father. And so many times we forget that God is a spirit. When God is not, we were created a spirit being. Without form, without hands, without all this exterior flesh. That was what we were created, a spirit being. That is the reality of who that we are. What we see in this world, as Paul said, this temporal world that we live in, is everything is passing with the usage. Everything is deteriorating. Everything is wasting away. And that the only thing that stands is that God has given us. The spirit man. And that's why we're becoming more comfortable living out of and walking in that dimension of spirit. Because God is going to manifest His sons. Jesus was the first fruits of the resurrection. When He came forth from the grave, He came forth with a new body. He didn't come forth with that old body of flesh and blood that was deteriorating, that old body of flesh and blood that He was clothed upon when He died on the cross of Calvary. He came forth as the first fruits of the resurrection. He served His purpose. He fulfilled what He had been predestinated for. And that was to come and to die on the cross to show us the way back into the Father. His words in that day, if we read them, are the words of love and compassion for those that were sinners. Now, the words for the church in that day were harsh, because He came down hard on those that were hypocrites, the scribes and the Pharisees. But lost humanity, He did not condemn. He loved. He did not judge. And I honestly believe, and I have believed for a long time, the greatest, as 1 Corinthians 13 says, faith, hope, and charity, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and etc. So on. Love. If there's one trait that we can show into creation and must show into creation, is that trait of love. And He called us according to His purpose, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And that that was given in Christ Jesus before the world began is now made manifest or unveiled by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. It is that purpose and grace which He now has made known and fully disclosed and made real to us. Now that's a statement. It is that purpose and grace which He has, not will, but has made known to us, that fully disclosed to us. You know, it's there. We look at the Word, and God has taken that Word and He's revealing the meaning of it into us. Because just the letter of the law, it kills, destroys. We've seen that always in the church world. when the law is the predominant message, it kills, it destroys, it causes fear, there's no joy, and there's no hope in it. We're not under that law. I mean, it's very clear that in Galatians that the law was fulfilled. The law was our schoolmaster that brought us to Christ, and that we no longer needed that once we came to Him. And the life that we now live, we live by the faith of the Son of God. But God has disclosed it to us through the appearance of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has annulled or done away with death and made it of no effect and brought life and immortality, immunity from eternal death to life through the gospel. We say people still die. Yes, they do. But that doesn't mean that He hadn't destroyed death. Death is in this physical realm. But there is no death in that spiritual realm. Eternity dwells within us. And in 2 Peter 1:3, and we've used this before, He said, according to His divine power, hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. How? Through the knowledge of Him that called us to glory and virtue. The Amplified Version says that He has given us to life and good godliness through the full personal knowledge of Him who called us and to His own glory or excellence. You see, these things He's made it by His power. He has given to us all things that pertain unto life. I believe in this hour, I know that we're in this body, and I know that if we look at this outward man, he's wrinkling, he's deteriorating, he's falling apart. I mean, if you look at the outward man, a lot of things is happening in that realm. But you know, God, according to His power, has given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge. That word knowledge has stood out to me, that knowing, through the knowing of Him. Paul said that we may know Him in the power of His resurrection and in the fellowship of His suffering. That we may know Him. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You see, He was very God in the flesh. And you see the tender touch of the Master's hand through Jesus. Look at the way that He cared for His disciples. He cared for those that He healed. Look at Him standing outside of Lazarus' tomb weeping. Look at Him sitting on the hill over Jerusalem, weeping for Jerusalem. We serve a caring and compassionate God, or Father, who has given us everything that pertains to life through the knowledge or the understanding of Him who has called us to glory and virtue. Getting to know Him, that we may know Him. How do you get to know God? People say, well, read the Word. Of course, you read the Word, but you get to know Him in a relationship by talking to Him, by worshiping Him, by spending time with Him, by meditating in His presence and on His Word, and allowing the Holy Spirit to open up and give us the truths of His Word. The fourth verse, it says, wherefore are given unto us exceeding and great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the heavenly, partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is the world through lust. By these He has bestowed on us His precious and exceeding and great promises, that through them you might escape by faith from by faith. aside from the moral decay, rottenness, and corruption that is in the world because of controversy, lust, and greed, and become sharers or partakers of the divine nature. Now, if we're looking on for the divine nature in this eternal realm, we're not going to find it. If you're looking for perfection in this dimension of time, you're not going to find it. If you're looking for perfection in this flesh and blood, you're not going to find it. Paul said, the things that I would do, those are the things that I don't do. And the things that I would not do, those are the things that I do do. And in Romans chapter 1, he says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who walk not by the flesh, but by faith, or in the Spirit. If we are going to expect to see perfection in this flesh realm, you're going to be very disappointed. The only time that this outward is going to be corrected and pure is when we are clothed upon with that heavenly tabernacle. When God takes the cover off and reveals and manifests His sons in this earth, when this puts on incorruption and immortality, then there will be perfection in this realm. But it's not going to be this body of flesh and blood. It is going to be that new resurrected body that God has made for us. And we are partakers of His divine nature, of who He is. As He is in this world, so are we. As He is, so are we. You know, I believe that God in this hour, and I know that we're saying things over and over again, but I believe that God in this hour is teaching us the fact that we are a spirit being. And when that revelation dawns on us, the reality of that revelation, of who we are, that we are as He is. You know, in 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, he says, but you are. You know, I like to look at those things that he says, you are, you have, it's already done. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. You are a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Chosen in God before the foundation of the world. Does that make me any higher or any than anybody else? No. Does that make me loved of God more than anybody else? Absolutely not. Does that make me special, any more special than anybody else? Absolutely not. No. I am who I am because I was chosen in Him before the foundation of the world.
Right.
And just because God chose a people that we manifested in the earth to bring creation, to set creation free from the bondage, does not make them any special than anybody else. Jesus Christ became the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. He died for the sins of the whole world. All creation is going to be brought back into God. We are instruments in His hands that He has called for this purpose. All through the ages, Abraham was an instrument in His hand. Can you imagine what it was when Abraham was told to get out of his country, to leave his people, that he was going to a place that God would show him, not knowing where he was going? Can you imagine how Paul felt when he got up off of the road to Damascus and headed on into Damascus after all that had happened to him, knowing that all was behind him, he counted it as done, as nothing. And here he was setting out on a new spiritual journey that no one had ever walked on before. He didn't turn around and go back to the hierarchy of the church and say, look, this is what happened to me. He went on. He was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he spent 14 years that we don't have much record of talking with God. He said, this I have received of God. I mean, he was radical in his word because he was the apostle to the Gentiles, which was totally contrary to the teachings he was brought up with. And you know, that's the same way with us. We have been called out of the religious realm that we might enter into a new day in the Lord, in our Father's house. That we might enter into that Holy of Holies where He alone is the light and the revelation and the word that is being spoken into us in this hour. There is no other light in the Holy of Holies. Only God. He is the Word. He is the revelation. He is unveiling Himself to us. That as we see Him, as we live with Him, as we walk with Him, the preparation for that day of manifestation is taking place. And it's not only taking place in us, but there's little groups all around the world that the same thing is happening in, that God's dealing with, that God's working with. And in Romans 8:28, we're going to just about all quote that scripture. He said, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. That everything that touches our lives is for our good. And look at that. You look at that. You look at what Job went through and all that he suffered. And yet would not deny God. He said, naked I came into the world and naked I'll go out. You know? And then the next verse he said, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. So he predestinated us, he called us, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now you know, this is all in the past. You know, our understanding is just beginning to catch up with who we are and the reality of what God has already done in us. The work that has already been completed. He called, He justified, and He glorified. Child of God. Child of God. Child of the Almighty God. That's who we are. And, you know, that brings joy and peace. Even in the midst of the storms, in knowing that the mighty, the creator of all this universe, the all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present God is for us. That greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. And that everything that we need is inside of us. Everything, all the revelation, all the words of God is within us. All the help we need is within us. We are looking within to see His word unveiled within us. He's called us. He's justified us. He's glorified us. He told Israel, he said, he set his love on them, not because they were many in number, but because he loved them. He loved his creation so much that he sent his son to die for creation, to bring them back. And you know, the thing of it is that in the first book of Genesis, he doesn't tell Adam and Eve, I was reading recently from an author, he doesn't tell Adam and Eve that there's a hell or that they're going to hell. But in Genesis, the third chapter, he does promise a Messiah. Hallelujah. He didn't tell them there'd be any eternal punishment, but he did tell them that even though what they had done, there would be a Messiah that would restore them back to the Father. Bring them back to the Father. And that's been the promise through all the Bible, even of this hour. The Messiah has come. The price has been paid. Creation has been restored. And now God is getting ready to manifest His sons in the earth, that all creation will benefit. He told Abraham, all the seeds of the earth will, you know, in you will be blessed. In you all nations will be blessed. Think of that. And God's about getting ready to fulfill that promise to creation through the manifestation and the unveiling of His sons. We have been called to this place where we are today. It's as sure as the breath that we breathe, that the Father is moving and working in us a work that we cannot see, that is far beyond anything that we know at this time, that He has blessed us with all blessings in the heavenlies, and that He has set His love upon us, that He has set His hand upon us, that He has called us, justified us, and glorified us, and that His work is being accomplished in our lives. We just praise You, Father, for the reality of the work that You're doing within us. Amen.